Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com. Now, it's the Rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Brad, when did you stop playing Running Down a Dream from Tom Petty for this segment?
You know, I played that for you earlier this
summer.
That
was for me only?
And the guys got mad at me because they don't like me playing classic rock songs or country songs.
Oh,
or
they want it to be hip-hop and got it.
Hey, they're the stars of the show.
You're right.
So I relent when it comes to music rotation
things. Yes, their choice.
It's your gig, man.
Fair enough. Trust
me, I learned that early on when I started working with Gary Parrish. I was like, I ain't going to screw with Lucero.
Instead of Lucero.
Get back into rotation. In fact, one of the side benefits of being the program director / whatever they call me here at the radio station is you get to know people's tendencies and their music likes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, Jeff is more of a James Taylor guy.
He is.
He is, and then the middays, the hip-hop. Most sport is probably 2 to 4.
Sure, but may play the hip-hop. I feel cool when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a certain vibe.
Yeah, but also do like Running Down a Dream.
Let me write this down.
I'll say that.
That is coming up next here on 92.9.
All right, first story.
Isn't that nice?
Dick Vitale made his return last night to Colin basketball games after his cancer diagnosis. And man, that was touching to watch.
It was unbelievable.
There was a time when I was younger, and I may have just taken the cue from like my grandparents who they were not Dick Vitale fans because he's just so over the top that it felt obnoxious. And there are times when it does seem obnoxious. It's like so much.
Mm-hmm.
But like the older I get, and the more I learn about him, and the more I just it's that enthusiasm is not this manufactured, fake. I'm just doing this for TV. Like he just is enthusiastic about college basketball and loves it so much, and I appreciate that so much more. And the work he does for cancer research and the Dickie V Foundation,
with children's cancer.
It makes me love Dickie V way more than I did.
So I, like you, watched this last night, and I had a tear. I mean, here,
yes.
let me play this.
Play it.
This is the intro going into the Gonzaga-UCLA game.
It is a very special night, and it's also the return of the voice of college basketball, Dick Vitale. Thanks so much for being with us, everyone. I'm Dave O'Brien, Sean Farnham with us as well tonight. Dickie, it is so great to see. I know you would not miss this. All of you are aware that Dick is battling cancer. The fact that you've made it out to Las Vegas for a game that I know you had circled for a long, long time is just awesome. Great to see you.
It's great being here, Dick. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want to thank all you people. Send me so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable. On October 12th, I'll be honest with you, when they walked in and told me I had cancer, they thought it was mild duct cancer, and it was really going to be a serious surgery and all. I never dreamt at 82 that I'll ever be on courtside again, but to be here today, I'm sorry. I hope I don't cause a problem out there, but I've been so emotional.
Don't apologize for anything.
Well, and the game is the big thing. So let's get this game going. Talk some basketball. You're the best.
Like, that is real human emotion right there. Like, I mean, it's not like he's a professional. Amazing. It's not like he just wanted to break down crying on national television. And just, That's not the moment that made me a Dickie V fan, but really, just over the years, just knowing how much, like, he doesn't have to work anymore either.
No,
like he's 82.
He doesn't have to do this,
but he loves it and he wants to. And like to have that kind of energy and enthusiasm at 82, like that is inspiring, and I love it.
It's a great reason why I love watching these basketball games, because Dickie V, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's synonymous with college hoops.
Of course.
I think Jay Billis works his way in there from time to time.
Sure.
But it's a different sort of emotional character.
He feels like a fan who you gave a microphone to.
Yes. Like, when he was talking about Gonzaga last night, he's like, because they're up by 20 going into the half, and all Dickie V says is, better get back on defense. And I'm like, yeah, because, like, they're awesome. And he just, the way he covers a game is, it's really special. He's been on the station numerous times, and we were all thinking about Dickie V, but you know how much that meant to him to be on that broadcast.
So much. Dickie V. I thought that was pretty awesome. And speaking of the game that they played,
O'Brien did a nice job there, too, being next to Dickie.
Oh, of course.
He does a good job as well.
Gonzaga is good. Chet Holmgren is real good.
You know, John was talking about with Jeff this morning. There's no question they're the best team, right?
Wow. Like,
what do you think?
One versus two, and it wasn't close.
Not close.
Ever. At all.
No.
Like, they are.
The Holmgren kid, he looks like he needs 20 sandwiches, but, like, he's so dominant and tall.
It looks so weird. He's so thin.
It looks like that Brad, like, back in the day, like Sean Bradley almost.
Yes.
But, like, he seems to not break.
He is skilled.
He's great. He's a good player.
It's just weird to watch it on the floor. On a floor full of, like, really tall guys.
Yes.
Like, they're already, it's kind of like circus freaks because they're all incredibly large humans.
Yep.
He stands out. Just looking at it, you're like, what is that thing?
Well,
and then it turns out he's awesome at basketball.
And then I couldn't help but put Memphis on that floor against a team like that because we have such high expectations. And I kept thinking to myself, okay, we do have a big body in the middle,
but
we're not always shooting great. They've got great guards on a team like that.
Yep.
And then I saw Cincinnati last night. I'm sure we can sort of roll into that combo. But, I mean, they gave Arkansas all they could handle right down to the buzzer.
It felt like more like Memphis would match up maybe with UCLA, and then if they, I just put Memphis on the same. I'm with you. I put Memphis on that court with Gonzaga, and I was like,
it didn't feel good when I was thinking about Memphis on that court.
No.
I mean, not especially with the guard play.
Yeah,
because they were getting anything they wanted at the rim. They were driving through the lane like butter.
That was an impressive to watch.
They won by 20. You know, like that was the game.
Next story.
Speaking of, as you just mentioned them, Cincinnati, who turns out they're a good basketball team.
I mean, they're going to be great.
Like that, they weren't expected to be all that much, and it turns out they're. You're going to have more than just Memphis and Houston be good in the league.
No, they're really
good. They took on Arkansas last night and gave Arkansas all they wanted.
Yeah.
And so I think that's actually, again, that's great for Memphis.
Yeah. It's good for the conference because Memphis needs a better, many quality wins.
Yeah, you want them to get as many wins here in the non-conference as possible.
Yeah.
But that's always the argument, is that if you don't get them now, you have nothing on the back end to, like, really help your strength of schedule. And to have Cincinnati suddenly be like, these guys are for real, that's a good thing. But they are,
Wes Miller, the coach, he's great. I mean, Gary has said he's a good coach. When they brought him over from North Carolina, I think it was in Wilmington, to come to Cincinnati. But I think he brought a couple players. He got their other players to buy in. That guard for Cincinnati is really good. And that's why I pointed out with Cincinnati, because the guard play, this is why I bring up Memphis, because it's like, I think that the point guard thing, they need to get Timberlake or somebody in there that's got a little bigger body, that's somebody that can handle what we're going to see in conference play against a team like Cincinnati, or not conference even necessarily, like tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight against Virginia Tech.
They have got to figure, I mean, they just have to give him Timberlake run.
Yeah.
To like just
and he doesn't necessarily have to shoot.
Just to get him more comfortable.
Right.
And get him more comfortable and get him more comfortable. I mean, who knows? I'm not in his head. Anytime you get surgery and get cut on.
Yes. It affects you.
It does affect you. Yeah. Like it changes how you do things for a minute until it's out of your brain. And I don't know if that's still in his brain, but a guy who has been cut on and then try to go back and play sports.
Pick up or whatever, right. Doing activities.
Yeah. You just think, like, as you're about to do this movement, you're like, oh, I, I got to land a certain way.
Right.
You just have
Like, Kane Brown hurt his ankle jumping off a stage at the Forum. Yeah. I'm sure that he thinks twice now about jumping off stages in these concerts.
Your body has a way of protecting itself, and it's involuntary. Like, and so you have to... Maybe it's just going to take him getting more comfortable, not only more comfortable playing with these guys,
right,
more comfortable in the offense, more comfortable with Penny, but also more comfortable with his own body.
Yeah,
that could definitely hopefully help him, because man, watching Gonzaga and watching Cincinnati last night, like,
it was alarming a little bit. They're fast. They're good. Their guards are good. They're also big.
And Houston lost to Wisconsin last night, but
they look great and they almost came back.
They had a big comeback, and again, it's that Sasser kid. Like, they have the old guys who were good.
And I know they're not in the top 100. Let me start there. I think Houston, Memphis, and Cincinnati are your three, right?
Yep.
At this point in that conference. But like Wichita State, not terrible.
No.
You know, they're not like you're not just trotting out.
They have been a long time, been a good program, and you can't count on them sucking.
No.
Like, you just kind of assume they're going to figure it out and be, if nothing else, a quality basketball team that will get you if you don't show up to play and you don't have the players. It will.
Real quick, tonight, how are you feeling about tonight? Since we're talking about Tigers, I wanted to ask you.
The more we've talked about it, like I went into this week thinking scared to death of tonight.
Yep.
And I was wondering, like, you know, I just don't know. But now, the more we've talked about it, I don't even have evidence or reason behind this. I just feel better about it.
You feel better about it.
I actually feel better about tonight than, and I even said maybe yesterday, I thought they'd go 1-1 on the trip, and they might still. But for whatever reason, I feel better about tonight than I did Monday.
Memphis is favored right now against the spread. Minus 2.5 is what I'm looking at for Memphis.
I mean, that's not
tonight.
Comfortable.
It's not, it's a pick-em, essentially. I mean, you're on the road. You're at Barclays Center. I mean, everybody's curious because it's two undefeated teams, and this is the first test for Memphis after coming off of a game where you had all those turnovers.
Yep.
You know, so I'm looking forward to tonight.
Next story.
Did you see the Titans waived Adrian Peterson after three games?
I did see this.
You know.
Poor fella.
Poor fella. I really wanted that to work. Two things. Number one, that he is 36 years old and even can get off the couch run the football is a testament to the superhuman person that Adrian Peterson is.
What were your first thoughts when they signed Adrian Peterson when they had the injury? I'm like, okay, so they're signing Adrian. Is Adrian Peterson? Like, where has he been?
I know. It's a weird deal because the running back in football now is like one of those guys. You're like, well, if you just have a good scheme,
something,
you can get any running back, a young guy, and everybody can do the job. And that's still not untrue. But they thought that we should get a guy like Adrian Peterson, who is amazing.
Use him as a battering
ram.
But
he's old. And yet they still thought, let's go get him. So that's
worth a shot, I guess.
So, like, props to Adrian Peterson. I kind of wish it would have worked. Like, he'd have been awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted, like, what a great story that would have been if, like, he comes out and just is crushing people. you know?
That would have been fun.
You know?
Too bad, though.
That goes back to
three games and goodbye.
Three games and goodbye.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have the Ryan Horvat.
The man from BetMGL.
The host, BetMGL Tonight. He's the host. He's going to join us, and we're gonna ask him about all sorts of sports stories and probably I want to hear Thanksgiving stuff, too. You're listening to the Jason and John.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show.
Jason and John guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. With special guest host J.R. Moore from Ingram Hill.
It feels good, Brad.
I think this is a good Thanksgiving
good.
Vibes.
I think it feels good.
It's not hip hop. It's not our normal.
You know, I like the hip hop too. I don't want to. I'm not trying to ruin somebody else's radio show.
No, I like. I have a whole playlist when I host too. Like, get the groove going, bro.
But this Thanksgiving, it's when
we have
feel good.
When we have Myers on next hour, I'll get Shine Down out for him too.
It gets gets the blood pumping.
I miss Tom Petty.
I do too.
It's still strange saying the late Tom Petty.
The late. You're right. Welcome back to the Jason and John Show. Right now, joining us is the host of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear right here on the Odyssey app. I'm a company man now, Brad.
Good
at least
man.
I am this
you got
week.
The hat.
The
yes.
Odyssey app. I'm going to change my desktop wallpaper to Odyssey.
I had to do it. I did it.
We are joined by Ryan Horvath. Ryan, how are you today, sir?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me, and happy holidays.
Absolutely.
Happy holidays, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dig that. Ryan, last time I guest hosted the Jason and John Show, I talked to you. It was right around the finals, the NBA finals. Do I remember this correctly? Do you live in D.C. now?
I do, and I do remember that. I remember we were talking Grizzlies hoops. I was talking about how much I love John Morant.
Yeah.
And as I talked about on the station, man, I'm over on the win total. I have a small little John Morant MVP ticket.
I love this.
And I'm in D.C., and I remember that conversation because I was living in somebody else's basement.
That's right.
And there was, like, construction going on, and it was an absolute disaster, man. I had anxiety. I was, like, walking down the street. I felt so bad because I love the station, man. And I was like, man, I don't want this to be a complete disaster the first time you guys have me on for a hit. But I think we made do.
That's fantastic. Have you seen the John Morant Nike commercial that released yesterday?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Oh, man.
You're going to love it.
I started to watch like a clip of it. And then we were like, our new studio is great, except for sometimes the Wi-Fi goes in and out.
Oh, God.
So I started to watch it, and then I bookmarked it and completely forgot. I got to go back and
there
check
we
it
go.
Out. Is it good?
That Wi-Fi is a make or break. That can make
it'll
a studio awful, or it can make it the best.
Yeah.
It really is. It really. Well, we're excited about it because it's an awesome commercial for Memphis and Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. And so everybody around here are super stoked about it. But it's also awesome because it's a national. It's like we finally have like a national commercial that is not just targeted for our market. It's for everybody, and we have a player who is like transcends our market. So we're pretty excited about it around here.
Oh, absolutely. And like I'm a big Ja fan. And it's crazy because I got destroyed because my take was that I would take Ja over Zion. And I was like, you know, I was just like,
it's pretty
with
good
the
now.
Injury history. Exactly. And I don't want to, like, celebrate it because I don't know what Zion's, like, really dealing with. Although I know I go on I jump out on the station out there, and it's like, man, they are destroying him. It's just even like, hey, we're hoping for the best. It's like, hey, and caller John says Zion is fat and out of shape. And he's a complete talk. But, see, I love Ja. And I got we were covering the tourney, and that was – like, I was really down on Steve Wojciechowski, and I kind of wanted him fired. So when he was at Murray State and they took on Marquette, I mean, I have never seen a performance like that. I was like, this kid is like a different version of Allen Iverson, and if he develops the three-point jumper, which is coming along a little bit, like, if he develops that jumper, he's going to be a killer. And he's even better than I expected this early. So, I absolutely love him. I get why you guys are so excited. I wish we had him.
I'm with you. It's one of those things that we've talked about it a lot to where did we get lucky to get the number two pick? Because there's no doubt about it. If you have the number one pick, you're picking Zion Williamson. And so it's not like the Pelicans made a mistake by drafting him. I think everybody would have drafted Zion first. But it feels like we got lucky. It's almost the same as Oklahoma or Seattle when they got
Durant,
the number two with Durant and Oden.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of lucked into getting the second pick. I feel like, obviously, when Zion plays, he's awesome. But it's just when he plays and can he play very often. And so we feel like – I kind of feel like we got lucky by having this forced onto us by not have – by just take away Zion, so now we have to pick the good guy.
I'll say this, Matt. I think that's, like, the best take that I've heard because when you think about it, like, getting the second pick – so. You know, you're always disappointed when you get the second overall pick. I mean, you go back and it's like that's the difference between landing Derrick Rose and Michael Beasley.
Absolutely.
Andrew Luck and RG3. But sometimes, like, it also takes the pressure because sometimes the second option is still a solid option. Like, if you take away – I thought RG3 was going to be, like, the next it thing in the NFL. And he had a great rookie year.
Great rookie.
And then, obviously, you know, the Shanahans, they throw him back in that game. And his career was never the same. And, like, defenses figured him out a little bit. But, I mean, like, sometimes, you know, we've seen situations like this. I think that was just a great situation to be in because, like you said, you had to take Zion number one. even though there was all the question marks, you know, his weight, the fact that he blew out his sneakers. Remember when that was the biggest deal? Like people were never going to buy Nike again.
Right.
It was insane.
I mean, that is an issue. When you see a guy blow out a sneaker, you're like, I've never seen anybody else do this.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
There's something extra happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
We should have seen it coming.
I almost didn't see that as a red flag. I was like, oh, he just got a bad pair of Nikes. When it turns out, it probably should have been a red flag.
When Charles Barkley's making fun of you for being fat, though, you got a real problem.
That's a bad deal. That's a bad deal.
Exactly.
So, Ryan, the Tigers, Memphis Tigers, the college basketball team, takes on Virginia Tech tonight in Barclays Center, and it's the first real test pretty much for the Tigers this year, but there is a ton of excitement over this team. I think, are they ranked ninth in the last, in the latest
AP? Yeah,
AP,
yeah.
I mean, I know Virginia Tech, Blacksburg is still a considerable ways away from where you are, but I don't know a lot about this Virginia Tech team, and I don't know, but Memphis is favored by two. I don't know, what are your feelings on the Tigers and this kind of, and what might happen this week with them playing real opponents?
Yeah, I'm not even just saying this because, I absolutely love this basketball team. They're my favorite team in the country. We kind of have become, big fans. And even my partner, Quentin Mayo, same thing. He played them to win the national title.
Wow.
He's got Bates winning player of the year. He is nice, man. Yeah, he is all in. Now, I love them, too. Here's my only concern. This is, you said, their first test. So I'm going to be betting on them because I love them. I've talked about this on the show. I love Penny Hardaway. He was my favorite player growing up. Everybody was wearing the Jordans in the sixth grade. I had the Air Penny.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because of the commercial. I absolutely loved him, man. I love that Magic team. And I was a Bulls fan, and I still love them, even though they knocked us out of the playoffs the one year. The only thing that my concern is, okay, so you have a team of pretty much where your best players are freshmen, and I absolutely love them. They, remind me of, Syracuse with Melo. That's how good they are. But they're facing a Virginia Tech team tonight that's 31st in adjusted efficiency. So they're currently the number one team in perimeter defense. So that is the only thing that scares me, is just the only thing about Memphis. They're great. If you look at the KenPom adjusted efficiency ratings, geez, I could talk today. They're number 48. The only thing that scares me is they do have some problems taking care of the basketball right now. So you're a young team. You're going against a veteran team right now, and you can't take care of the basketball. So that is my only concern, and I think that's why we're seeing that point spread, sitting there. It's pretty much a pick'em. Anything under 2.5, I call a pick'em. I'm taking Memphis in this spot. I can't wait to watch this game. Maybe I'm wrong, and this is, because it's their first test. They turn the basketball over 25-plus times, and they lose this game. And it's, even if they lose this game, I wouldn't be overly concerned. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because they're so young. Maybe I hate the narrative that, this could be a good loss. I don't believe that any loss is a good loss. I just don't believe that. But I think you could learn something from every loss, and I think even if they do go down tonight, that it would be a good learning experience. But I don't know, man. I'm betting on the more talented teams right now in college basketball. I'm either betting on veteran teams, Jay Wright coach teams, where you bring back Colin Gillespie as your starting point guard, or I'm betting on talent right now. And it's worked so far for me early in the season. So I'm going with talent in this spot tonight. There's two pros. And like you said, we don't know a whole lot of about Virginia Tech, even though they're a solid team. And that's because they don't have two guys that are going to be lottery picks. Memphis does. So I'll roll with them tonight.
Dig that.
Like that.
Talking to Ryan Horvat here on the Jason and John Show. He convinced me. I feel better about it.
I like it too.
After you just saying that, because I read about Virginia Tech and how slow they play. And a slow team going against a team who turns the ball over a lot and has suspect point guard play, that makes me nervous. But, again, we have two pros. And Imani Bates, when Imani Bates is on, it is something to behold. And then we have a grown man in Jalen Duren, who's only 18 years old, but he's still a grown man in the middle. And so I'm with you. I'm going to roll with the talent. I like where your head's at, Ryan. I like where your head's at. All right. On the slightly less optimistic side of Memphis sports, the Tiger football team is playing this weekend against Tulane. They're 5.5-point favorites. They have been I'm not overstating this by saying there have been a disappointment here in the market this year. But they should beat Tulane, who is not very good, although they struggle with Tulane seemingly every year for whatever reason. Do you have any thoughts on Memphis football and kind of not only this game, but what they should do going forward, whether it be with a coach or just, be better?
So yeah, so it's funny because my cousin's is a Memphis fan, and he was on the bench for a while, and he was a grad assistant. Now he actually coaches at Illinois State. He's on the bench for the women's team. He got himself the bag. His name's Scott Gillespie. But I was texting him, and this is after I joined the show, and I said, you know, man, you guys are going to call me crazy. I know it's Houston, but Memphis is my favorite bet in college football this week. I have high expectations. They're going to go all in for, you know, and they're going to try to save Silverfield's job.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I texted him and I said, I need Ryan Silverfield. Like, when I do die, when I ultimately die from stress from betting on Memphis, I need him to lower the casket so he could let me down just one more time. Because that's how I felt. You should be the 2-9 Tulane team. But you know what? Here's the thing. I'm done betting on Memphis. You know, maybe I'll be back next year. And you know what? I will. I love watching them offensively, defensively. Watching that secondary makes me sick. And then the thing with Tulane is, Tulane's the weirdest team because they're terrible. They're 2-9 on the season. But, like, go back to the game against Oklahoma. Every week they surprise you. If you bet on them, and you think they're going to cover, like, a double-digit spread, they get beat by 40. If you fade them because you think they stink, then they're right in the game and they lose by a field goal. So this is one I'm staying away from. But like you said, like, you need this one to become bowl eligible. You're trying to save your job here. My play would be narrative-based, and it would be Memphis. These are just two teams I can't trust right now with my wallet because, you know, we got so much going on, like college hoops right now. I'm sweating out. We got the Fighting Sister Jeans right now against Michigan State. It's a 51-50 game. This is my favorite time of the year. Like, Feast Week is so great because we wake up and we got college hoops 11 a.m. on the eastern side here over here. So, yeah, that would be my play, though, Memphis. But these are two teams I just can't trust right now.
It's tough, too, because I told Brad this yesterday, in that it's a 5.5. Memphis favored by 5.5. But, like, Silverfield is feeling, and he is set in the
He's got a lot of heat this week.
He's feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
And I feel like they are going to pull out all the stops and just – I would think because of that they would be as aggressive as possible and try to score, pull out the trick plays, do everything possible to beat the ever-living crap out of Tulane. Right. The problem is that their defense is
not good.
Not
and special
good.
Teams is an issue.
And
too.
Special teams is awful. So, but I feel like they cover this. I feel like they try to put up 60 if they – I mean, they can't put up 60.
If I were betting it, I'd bet Memphis.
I would try to. I would try to. All right, Ryan, I got one more for you. I'm going to get you out of here. This is going to be a heater. I'll pitch you a fastball right down the middle. Do you like watching the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving?
That's a great question. You know what? We talked about this today. It's funny because I always go on with my guys in Milwaukee for an hour, and I did my usual Friday hit with them. And I'm the only person that answered yes to this question.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Because you know what? We had an intern, and now he's actually a producer at the station, right? And he's a Lions fan. And he takes it like a champion, man, because we spike it right in his face when we beat the crap out of the Lions. Right. And he, like, for some reason, though, he's so devoted to the Lions, he was so devoted to Matthew Stafford, that he wanted to see better for Matthew Stafford. Like, if I would be like, no, this is the one thing we have going for us, is Matthew Stafford, like, patting his stats in the fourth quarter and maybe backdoor covering every once in a while. We are not giving up on him. But he was like, no, you know, like, if you love something, set it free. And he said it today even. He's like, the only thing that we have left is this Thanksgiving game. Please never take it from us.
Oh, man.
And it's actually my leg of the BetMGM tonight parlay. I love the Lions to cover the 3, and it's disgusting. Anytime you bet on Jared Goff, it's disgusting. There was a couple weeks ago where he averaged 1.9 yard per attempt. I don't even know how that's possible.
How do you do
he was
that?
Throwing the ball 2 yards downfield. But I think the Lions are going to win this game, and the best image on Thanksgiving, you know, other than spending time with your family, of course, is going to be Dan Campbell eating that big turkey leg.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You're right.
I think they win this game. I'm on the Lions in this game.
Oh, I love it. You may have convinced me on this, too.
The Dan Campbell thing's pretty
The Dan
tempting.
Campbell, that does sound
He's
great.
A maniac.
And I'm with you. The Detroit Lion fans have so little that you just kind of have to give this to them. But they do feel like the guy who always gets broken up
with.
True. Like,
it's
I just
true.
Want a better four, man. Awesome. Ryan, thank you so much for carving out a little time of your day and joining us on the Jason and John Show. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and win a bunch of money on all your bets.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Enjoy the holiday.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ryan.
That was Ryan Horvat, host of the BetMGM Tonight Show, which you can hear on the Odyssey app, which you can also hear this station on the Odyssey app. Love Odyssey.
We can tell we promote that a lot.
I'm a company man now, Brad. I'm doing it.
You're freaking amazing.
I'm doing it. Give me some of those live reads.
I need some of those FanDuel endorsements.
I need the FanDuel endorsements. Give me some live read money.
I saw that when I sit over here and hit the buttons for these guys. Trust me.
When we come back, we'll be joined by the co-host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey show. He has opinions every once in a while. I'm going to try to see if I can get any of them out of him. My name is J.R. Moore. I'm filling in for Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I mean, considering the tryptophan thing, we'll keep you going with sports. We're thankful for you, 92.9 FM ESPN. Thanksgiving is a time for giving thanks, and we're giving the gift of games. Grizzlies, Volunteers, Cowboys, NBA, SEC, NFL, and the power of ESPN.
And a hanging reverse jam. Oh, that is athleticism.
All Thanksgiving weekend long, Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Welcome back to the Jason and John show. That voice sounds familiar.
You're talking over yourself.
I am talking over myself.
It's always fascinating.
It really is kind of fascinating. No. Well, Jeffrey's a little tied up at the moment. He is also a company man. He is recording and do some other stuff. He's going to try to pop in if you can in a minute. But there's a couple things I wanted to there's a couple things that happened in the news that I'm going to talk to you about. Number one, I don't know if you saw it. Stan Kroenke. Has settled with the city of St. Louis for $790 million. And when you told me this morning, my initial reaction was, oh man, what a steal. He got off easy.
Yeah.
Which $790 million sounds like an ungodly amount of money because it is. To be fair, it is an absurd amount of money. But to him,
somebody, by the way, put in honor of Jeff Fisher, $790 million, 7 and 9. The jokes.
But to him, that's not that much money.
It isn't that money. I mean, he's married to, if you're not familiar with Stan Kroenke, he is a development guy who married one of the Walmart, family members, one of the women from the Walmart, the daughters.
Yeah.
And so he's got plenty of money. Like, he's got all the money, in fact.
Yes, all the money.
I came from St. Louis, and they've lost two NFL teams, both the Cardinals going to Arizona with Bill Bidwell, and then this deal, which happened 5 years ago now with the Rams leaving. And St. Louis, at the end of the day, was willing to go a certain length to keep that team. In other words, these teams leave sometimes because of clauses that say, hey, if we don't have one of the best arenas or fields or stadiums, we can bolt because you, the city, vis-a-vis the market, are not able to sustain our standard of stadium.
Right.
So Stan kind of used that clause. The problem was St. Louis kind of was like, we would probably do a riverfront thing. And then they kind of wiggled around some of their own rules. This goes to court. The courts keep passing it along, and it made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Like, this thing was going to go to trial in January if they wouldn't have settled this. Okay. And that we're talking about PSLs, money invested, our city losing the opportunity to make money on the initial stadium investment.
Sure.
So it goes to this lawsuit. And people in St. Louis are pissed. They hate Stan Kroenke. Like, he is Satan, in the flesh to people in St. Louis, because basically he took the football team and he was going to go make a bunch of money, not only in creating value for the Rams going up, because that stadium or that team now is worth not $1 billion like they were in St. Louis, but $5
billion.
And then the deal with the Rams building the stadium was part financed through the NFL, the market, some of it stands, the team. But he benefits because it's a real estate deal.
Right.
You're building a $5 billion stadium to have everything, including these massive Jumbotron concerts and God knows what in this new palace. And here St. Louis takes it to court, and it gets this far down the line, and they settle because, and you and I talked about this off the air, but I think the reality is when you're a city and you see $750 million as a settlement, you can't.
You can't say no. Like, the piece of people of your city who don't give a crap about football would look at that and go, what do you mean you're not going to take the $790 million?
How did you pass on that money?
Yeah, so they're in a tight spot. You kind of have to take it, even though if you go to trial, maybe you can get
more. Maybe you'll be two or three to the bill, and maybe the NFL has to settle and give you a football team.
Sure, maybe. I mean, that's what you want.
Right.
But like at the same, the city's job is not necessarily to have football teams. The city's job is to govern for their people who live there.
It's a great
point. And if you can settle and get $790 million more put on your books.
Yes, you have that.
You have no choice but to take that.
I think if you're the attorneys, you have to.
I think you do. Yeah. All right. One other thing I wanted to, or actually a couple of things.
It's an interesting story, though.
It is an interesting story. Yeah. I found that pretty fascinating. Yeah. Secondly, are the Golden State Warriors, back to the Warriors of 5 years ago, They're 15-2 now.
Yeah.
And they're missing two key players.
Yeah.
One very key player. They're 15, but they're about to get Klay Thompson back.
Yeah.
He, it came out that he's participating in full practices after his ACL and Achilles tears. And
it's
if
crazy.
if he is anywhere near here's the thing is that shooting doesn't go away. If you're a good shooter, you usually only get better. Some of your athleticism goes away.
Yes.
And yes, he's a good defender,
yes.
and that takes athleticism. But his deal is shooting and getting shooting off quickly. They're 15-2 without him or James Wiseman. And while Wiseman is kind of a work in progress, we don't really know just how much he's going to help.
Yeah.
That's scary, is that you were kind of hoping that the Warriors had finally come back down to earth and that you that other teams could compete. But I mean, I know the Suns are awesome this year, but it feels like to me like, oh no, we're back to the Warriors being on a straight path to the finals.
It's a little scary because Klay Thompson is a killer.
He is a killer.
I mean, I just remember him in the playoffs and in some of these games. Like you watch Klay Thompson, he's like Steph Curry sometimes. Let me play this clip too because this was the scariest thing to me yesterday.
In his press conference?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is 36 seconds of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson sounding like a damn killer.
Klay, following up on that, you mentioned it was championship or bust. You know what it takes to win a title. With you coming back and with James coming back, do you feel like this team has the ingredients to win a title this year?
Oh, yeah. It's 15-2. That's a great indicator of, and our defense, I think, is top three in the league, as well as our offense. And I'm not even out there yet. Think about that. Really think about that. I'm more motivated than ever as well. And I want a championship so bad.
This is frightening.
That's like the most passionate I've ever heard Klay Thompson speak.
I've never seen anything like that from him.
No.
But I think 2 years with the ACL and the Achilles will do that.
I mean, that'll give you a new perspective.
Yeah, because you haven't played.
When you miss 2 years of your life and your livelihood like that. I mean, actually, he got paid. But the thing he loves to do,
when
you miss 2 years of that, it changes your perspective.
Totally
it probably makes you even hungrier all over again. And so that's terrifying. Is that
especially in the West.
Yeah. I mean, you assume the Lakers are going to be awesome, and they may turn out to be awesome when you have LeBron and AD, but they don't look great.
No.
It looks just like a jumbled mess.
No. The thing in the NBA that's frightening is when you see a team shooting that well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the Grizzlies need to shoot better.
They need to shoot better.
But they are going to take a lot of – you can tell they're going to take a lot more shots. It's just a lot of times I don't think they're going to go in like when you watch the Warriors.
They can take more shots. It's just they're not going to go in as much.
No, like when you see Jaren, they're clearly trying to get Jaren Jackson more shots, especially from three, especially step-in threes in rhythm. But, like, sometimes they look like darts and sometimes they don't. Like, the last game, certainly that last one was a dart.
Yeah.
But, like, that's why I think I was so excited about the win in Utah because it was kind of unexpected.
It's just the way the Warriors move the ball, if you watch them, the way they move the ball.
Ball moving in the passing.
You think here is the way to beat them. All right, we know Steph is going to shoot it from everywhere.
Sure.
So let's just stay attached to him.
Right.
Yet the way he moves without the ball and the way they move the ball around in passing is that he still gets open looks. And that's kind of what you want your team to do. And when that happens, when you see when the Grizzlies do that and you get Desmond Bane.
You can see it at times.
You get Desmond Bane gets a wide open look. And you think to yourself, if you're watching, you're like, how does the opposing team let this guy get a wide open shot? But when they have, when the chemistry is working and they're whipping the ball around, they get good open looks.
Yeah.
Probably part of what the Tigers' issue is that
I mean that's part of it.
They don't have the right chemistry. They don't
move
the ball around.
The thing with the Tigers that's frightening, and I know they're kind of twisted because we got Tigers coming up tonight in a test game, but I think people are concerned with them because when they try to throw those bullet passes, they go out of bounds. Like they just they go 50 feet over.
They sure do.
It's like
they sure do.
Yeah.
They sure. So. Well, a lot of times they make the hardest pass possible. They don't always make the easy pass. I've never seen more guys. I mean, in the past 4 years, I haven't seen guys make more bad alley-oop passes in the history of alley-oops or passing. There he
Look
is.
Look who he is here.
There
Ladies
he
and
is.
Gentlemen, Jeffrey Wright
Ladies
is in the studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host. The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. He's the executive producer of the Jeff Calkins Show.
Yes.
And this Saturday, live from 3 to 7 on, he's a Twitch boy now.
He's doing Twitch
he's
now.
He's like
I'm a YouTube
those,
star.
He's a YouTube
yeah.
star.
YouTube star.
He's like one of those guys. He's like an online DJ and a gamer.
Yes.
He's on Twitch from 3 to 7 and the Odyssey app with BetQLU covering football with Connor for this station. How are you, Jeffrey?
Well, so
You've been about recording
that,
podcasts.
About
that
BetQLU show, yeah, which we're having a blast doing it. What does the internet work anymore?
I don't think so.
I'm not blaming anyone at the station. I think, like, nationwide, the internet doesn't work.
I think you're right.
I think, like, we are now at this point where it turns out when 330 million people are in a country and everyone has a smartphone, it turns out that maybe we all can't use the internet.
You know, it's that same supply chain thing that's going on everywhere.
Global supply
chain, yes. The supply chain of broadband is not enough.
Yeah.
I think it's what it is.
We tried to do the show. It took an hour to, like, even get started. It was just awful.
That really halts productivity.
My poor dog, I usually go home in between shows and walk her. She's just not getting
not
that today.
Like that. All right, Jeffrey, I tend to make a lot of notes when I do show prep because I'm not the professional that you are, mm-hmm, and so I need to have lots of notes to help me get through the whole thing. But under your name in my notes, I have one note. And I'm gonna say
you know what's coming,
I have
Jeffrey.
One note, three words, one punctuation. Jeffrey, Hugh Freeze, comma, go.
Well, it was just outstanding to learn that sources close to Hugh Freeze have announced that Hugh Freeze has signed an extension. Right, yeah. It's just always great to hear that. I always love it. Yeah. I've said this for years. If your source on Hugh Freeze is Hugh Freeze, get a second source. And for a while, I think everyone thought I was insane.
Yeah.
And here's how I know I've been right. In this business, no one, like everyone, and this may not even be this business. I think this is the reality of where we are. People want you to go out and say something so that you can be wrong and they can do gotcha.
Sure.
And so I've noticed that ever since I basically laid out everything, starting with back when he said he was the leading candidate for the Tennessee offensive coordinator job, I didn't believe that.
Yep.
Because I talked to other people and I didn't believe it. And now my favorite one was this year. Texas Tech's job opened. And yet again, sources, Hugh Freeze is a leading candidate. Yet again. Well, for those that don't know, that report dropped on Saturday. And in less than 36 hours, Texas Tech must have run the most efficient contract negotiation in the history of the world because they announced Joey McGuire on Sunday morning. And anyone that knows anything about these contract negotiations, it's one thing to say, like, oh, reportedly Joey McGuire. No, they introduced him. Like, it was done.
It was done.
Done. And so it's just, listen, he is what he is. If it is true that he got $4 million at Liberty, Hugh needs to stay there forever.
Forever. That's what I'm saying. That
there's no expectations. Yeah. He can win at that league. Like, he should stay there forever if they're going to keep paying him that.
If they're a private school, do they have to announce? They don't have to announce what they pay him, do they? So he could just say this.
He can make up a number.
And nobody can verify that.
And also for him, it's also good that you can't Freedom of Information Act anything
right
up there. So, like, that's good.
That is good.
Can't get into his records.
But does this kind of, like, I'm assuming he doesn't want to stay there forever. And
no,
so,
there's a reason why these reports, like, he wants a big job again.
But if you announce that that's your extension, that means any job that comes open, do they think they have to, like, beat that number? And therefore it takes him out of contention for some bigger jobs?
No, I mean, in the end, I think that you see that because even though the carousel hasn't really gotten spinning, he's yet again in the same familiar spot where he wants one of these jobs.
Sure.
And then the reports come back like, you're not getting any jobs.
Do you think he ever gets another one of these jobs?
I'm in the business of never say never. Yeah. And eventually, like,
I mean, even like the Petrino method where Petrino, he went back to Louisville. But like, obviously Louisville's a Power 5 job. But you don't still look at Louisville as being like this massive,
well, it felt like Louisville was the only job he could get.
True.
It's like, he had been there before.
Sure.
He had success there before. So like, there was this thought of, okay, that one. I do not think he's in Art Briles territory because in fairness to Hugh, for all of the horrible things that I've seen him do, it's all victimless stuff for the most part.
It's his wife is the victim.
Well, I've seen him be really horrible to other people.
Okay, I mean, being an a-hole is not necessarily, a lot of people are a-holes.
If you can't get a job in college football because you're a narcissistic prick,
right,
then we would have no college football
coaches. That's correct.
We would have like three.
So like, it's really not, he hasn't done anything so crazy that like he makes him unhirable. It's kind of the fraud of being like, I'm holier than thou and I'm
Yeah,
really
it's the
more
being,
of an indictment.
It's the claiming that you are a moral superior.
Yes.
While being a football coach.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, I remember one time when they were under NCAA investigation, a guy named Riley Blevins was covering him for the Clarion Ledger. And Riley knew, like most people, like they're under serious like heat.
Sure.
And in the middle of a press conference, Hugh just asked him what his core values were. Like, how dare you question me? And then the irony was, I mean, listen, man, this is the other thing, though, about Hugh. When you leave $16 million on the table,
yeah,
that's more than just some phone calls.
Yeah.
That's a lot of skeletons.
That's true. That's
and
true.
A lot of times what we see in college football, it's this weird balancing act of trying to act like you're this high-power intellectual pursuit, when in reality, like to be real, like it's professional football.
Right,
like it's
right.
What it is at this point. And so there's just kind of a juggling act. Do I think he could get another P5 job?
Hey, let's even say like at the level of Memphis. Like that level job.
So there is an interesting aspect of that one. I do think he wants to be back in the Southeast. But I don't think he got a $4 million deal.
Yeah.
I think he's making probably close to three.
Whew. Damn.
And no, you to beat that, you kind of have to be private school money or be in a Power 5 job.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's also an issue with Memphis, especially right now when you don't know what the future is.
Right.
I don't think you want to just be spending money left and right.
Right.
Because at a certain point, like, you're probably having to pay to bring him in. You got to pay a staff. Like, they're
sure.
Like, and let's be real. Especially if the basketball team's rolling, like, you want to be able to have money on hand to make sure they have what they need.
That's exactly right.
Because it's your cash cow.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Like, it's your number one business. And so, I'm not saying that I don't think it would ever happen. Obviously, I root for it not to happen. Like, specifically this job. Unless I'm in another market working,
right,
which I have no intention of. So,
right.
So, but I mean, do I think at a certain point, a Louisville adjacent program would give him a job? I don't see why not. I mean, the other problem, though, he has right now, they're not winning at a huge level.
They're not at a huge level, but sometimes you can just attribute that to they are Liberty. Like, there's only so much you can do there.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is Liberty, it's not a bad gig. And it's not a bad gig because they can get guys in.
Right.
And they can take some chances. So their roster is usually not as bad as you think.
Oh.
But where I think it's going to be interesting is they're now moving into Conference USA.
Sure.
Or the artist formerly known as Conference USA.
Right.
And I think he can have success in that league, but I don't know if they'll still have, like, when you're an independent school, like, the conference isn't saying you can and can't take that guy or you know what I mean?
Like,
I don't know. Now, in Conference USA, it's never been the strictest rules.
Say,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
you think Southern Miss has really got the...
Can you read this? He's in. Let's get him. And you know, FAU, I don't think it was all that stringent.
Sure.
But I mean, I honestly, I don't know. Like, there is also this element of, it's kind of like when we talk about in basketball with the NBA. And take, for instance, when everyone's like, well, look at the Grizzlies' young core.
Right.
And we're all super pumped.
Yes.
And considering where you and I have seen...
Buddy.
The Baroni.
Yeah.
Baroni ball. Like, super excited. But everyone does this thing like, well, it's the best young core moving forward. Guys, y'all realize there's another draft. And then there's another draft.
Keep going.
So the reason why I mentioned that is, at a certain point, there are going to be new crops of coaches and new names and whatnot. And at a certain point, you have to have a school that's saying, we want Hugh Freeze versus whatever's on the horizon.
Right. Yep.
And again, I think it's possible. There's one thing that, I mean, especially if you find a school that wants juice and buzz.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's how you do
it. I mean, it is kind of the thing of, for all his shortcomings, he has won and won big everywhere he's gone.
There's no question.
And it's almost like it's similarly
it's all the same thing. Like,
to Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin was kind of like this, do you really want that kind of dude running your thing? but like he's had success everywhere he's gone.
He's also divorced.
It's true. I'm not like
to your perfect
comparison, but like if you want to, at some point, do you want to win and do you want to be like this style thing? And we have a guy who we're pretty darn sure he can win. He's got some baggage. Can we live with that baggage?
Yes.
And I feel like I wouldn't surprise me if people be like, yeah, time to win.
Well, then you pay attention to college sports. Yeah. Like at a certain point, like at a certain point, someone gets desperate enough to go. I mean, for instance, Ole Miss, after Matt, first off, they didn't want to fire Matt Luke.
Sure.
And then when they get embarrassed with the piss miss on national TV, all of a sudden, money that wasn't there suddenly appeared.
So funny how that works.
Magically appeared. Now, Ole Miss will tell you nothing happened.
Right.
Now, they sent him out on the recruiting trail that next day, and then he gets fired, like, on the driveway. So something happened.
Something happened.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'll play it out. But something happened.
You probably need to go pee your dog.
And then on top of that, like, there are lots of people that weren't wanting to get in the Kiffin business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is the other thing with Kiffin. Ole Miss isn't the brand.
He's the brand.
He is the brand.
It's like Cal.
It's very like Calipari. You don't want to get in the Cal business until you go, it's time to get in the Cal business.
Yeah, until you've had Billy Gillespie.
Yes.
And you go, screw it. Let's get in the Cal business.
Like, honestly, had Josh Heupel not be as good, like, on the upward trend at Tennessee as they are right now, I'm surprised Tennessee hasn't kicked this tire of the Hugh Freeze thing. Except for, like, yes, it's a huge job, but, like, they've made so many mistakes of hires where it's embarrassing that, like, eventually you go, I would almost, the Calipari thing, where like, we don't want to get in the Hugh Freeze business until you go, son of a gun, like, what else are we going to do?
When Hugh is at his best, though, it's when he comes in right off the bat and he's got to build something.
Yeah.
And he's got to do it immediately.
Yep.
Hugh's problem is, Hugh loves him some Hugh.
Yep.
And so when it starts rolling and going, he's not great at maintaining.
Sure.
And so if you're Tennessee, I don't think... Tennessee was not at that point where they go, we've got to pull this trigger.
Right.
And then it all kind of boils down to the same thing. Like, Tennessee went and found another guy.
Sure.
And while plenty of people at UCF weren't super pumped, you know, they were sitting there going like, yeah, okay, fine, sure, we'll do better without Josh Heupel. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
And that's
working out okay.
That's kind of where it's always going to fall down.
But here's the thing. With like, all these big schools.
Yes.
They have to hire somebody.
Yes.
And there's going to be a domino effect.
Well, like we're talking about with internet. Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
There's about to be a bunch of really overpriced meh football coaches this year.
Yeah, it got to hire somebody. Yeesh. And so at some point, does this just trickle down to be like, I mean, there's meh, or we can get this very shady but pretty good coach?
I don't think it happens this year.
Yep.
Do I think it can happen in the next two? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point.
I find the story around him fascinating.
Because it's like meteoric rise.
Meteoric.
It's like a thrill ride.
Yes.
It's the ultimate, like, that's what it is. It's a roller coaster. And honestly, even if you go back to Briarcrest.
Dude, he was killing it.
Crushing it. And then he left. And then Briarcrest, like, it took them a long time.
Yeah.
To get back to having a good football program. Because that's what happens with him is he takes you to these incredible highs. And then leaves it a mess.
Sure. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. I find it very fun.
Oh, I mean, that's like the other thing, though. With him, the bigger problem he had this year was their offense wasn't exciting.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that is one of those things that if you're...
I mean, we want points. Like, let's be real. That's what everyone wants.
When you're a smaller school, nobody gives a crap about how good your defense is.
No!
They want you to be put... you know, when Liberty is playing... Coastal Carolina or James Madison or whatever, you want to see 65-47 or whatever.
You want
points. And if you're not getting that, that's kind of the brand is like high flying.
Is that where we're at with
scoring.
Memphis? Is that what you're thinking?
That's where I am with Memphis.
Yeah.
Is that if you're not going to be like incredible,
get the ball up the field,
at least lose while scoring 45 points.
The number one rule, if you are mediocre, you cannot be boring.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's the story of my life.
You have exactly. Yes.
That is my motto.
Yeah, I mean,
you're mediocre.
That like disappointing my parents since 1988. Like, it's like those are like the phrases I live by. But like, that's the thing. I mean, if you're at these, Alabama wants to win with defense.
Yes.
But then we saw when they won with offense, they were fine.
Yeah.
With it.
Way better.
Like,
yeah.
In the end, if someone offers you an explosive offense, does they would really, like, it's fun.
LSU had Les Miles and yes. was trying to win with defense, and then they had the 1 year with Burrow, and it was like, this is the greatest college football team in the history.
Well, they're
going
to spend a decade trying to get somebody connected to Joe Brady tangentially. Like, did you go to high school with him? Like, yes or no? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I mean, like, literally, like, did you coach with Sean McVay at any point?
So far.
Or were you in a room with him at the Marist School? If the answer is yes, come on down. Like, you know him at his roots.
Oh, I love it so much. I love it so much. Who you got tonight, Tigers or Virginia Tech? What a transition, right?
Maybe I'm falling for. I just think they're good.
Tigers?
Yes.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Like, I know their flaws. We see them. They've been playing pretty meh, and I've really not considered that they were losing any of these games.
They made me feel like they're good in the sense that, like, you know, the Warriors are good, and then sometimes Steph Curry has like a 3-for-20 night, and you catch the Warriors, and you're like, and you go,
yes.
Well, this is awesome that we beat the Warriors, or the Warrior fans are like, well, we lost, but like, this is just one of those weird days where Steph went this, and we got bit. The Tigers are going to have these turnover days. They're going to play a good team, and they're going to get bit and lose a game.
No question.
But it doesn't stop you from going, they're still a good basketball team.
Well, and also,
they have great players.
It also doesn't stop me from going, hey, you know, to lose, the other team has to score too.
That's exactly right. And Tigers are good defensively.
Yeah.
Is this the longest team?
It's insane.
In my life, like, I'm even trying to remember back to like 07, 08.
I remember when.
I don't remember thinking like when they're on the floor, my God, they're long.
I remember when in 07, 08, every once in a while, I think they would either play like a 1-2-2 or this 1-3-1, and they'd put Robert Dozier at the top of that.
Yes.
And you go, if you're a point guard coming down the floor, and you're staring at Robert Dozier as the top of the zone. And you, what do I do?
So,
where do I throw the ball? I feel like this is a similar thing with like Josh Minot and his arm. Like, they're just so long.
I remember thinking with those teams, they were more frightening because they were so physical.
Yeah.
They were they were all like 23.
That's because they were kids. Yeah.
And I mean, they all were not afraid to get into a scrap, whether it be on the floor or the plush club. Like, it didn't really matter.
Did not matter.
Like, they were not afraid to scrap.
Did not matter.
So, like, they had the physical intimidation factor.
Sure.
And they have big dudes. This team, for me, it's specifically, like, when they get out in their 1-3-1 half-court thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the camera well angle from the forum.
Right.
But it was looking, like, right down on it. And I swear to God, it was a 1-3-1 that extended to the half court line, to the baseline, and I thought
they all
could touch each other. Like, I was like, I don't know how you score on that.
It's impossible.
Like, what are you telling them? Hey, attack the middle. Like, don't get into the traps. Like,
good
luck. It doesn't matter. Like, they can. If I try to throw it up, they'll just bat it away.
That's right. That's right. I do have that feeling with this team.
Like, I just think they're really good.
I agree.
And I understand there is some trepidation, and I think the problem with them so far is, they've never been threatened, but you kind of wanted it to look clean.
Yes.
I'm just under the assumption that's never going to happen.
Well, you got to hope that what happened against Western Kentucky was they shot the ball terrible and they turned the ball
exactly.
over. And they did still win by double digits. You got to hope one of those things
correct.
So
you don't need
Imani
to go 3 of 13 or 15, whatever it was.
You may turn the ball over. Sure, but maybe you shoot it closer to your average and you shoot the ball decently and then you guard like you guard. You're a good basketball team that way.
Also, unlike in other years where we go, well, if the Tigers just shoot the ball well, sometimes that felt like wishful thinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's our night.
Well, if I only had $10 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, wow, if I were 6'3 and was able to throw the football another 15 yards, maybe I could have been a pretty good quarterback.
Exactly
well, it's
right.
like, well, duh.
Well, duh.
This team actually can shoot. Like, Imani can shoot. Landers looks great this year. He was a good scorer last year.
And looks better now. And looks bought in.
Yes. I mean, honestly.
Lester feels like he's shooting better.
Exactly. I was thinking, but that was the next guy. I mean, Tyler gives you the possibility off the bench.
Yes.
And like it feels like it's the perfect role for him.
That's exactly right.
Let him get on the floor. If he's hot, ride it. If not, you got other options.
That's exactly right.
And then the other thing is, I'm not so sure Jalen Duren's not the best big in the country.
Buddy, he's awesome.
He's a dude.
He finishes things around the rim that you don't even see him coming. You're just like, wait. Most guys would either catch it, come down, and re-gather and dunk. He follow dunks more things than I've ever seen in my life.
He's awesome. Physical and he's skilled.
Yep. It's great. He can catch the ball.
Yes.
A big who can catch the ball.
It's new.
Hey.
A five-star big that can do that.
Hands.
I mean, there was like the first possession I remember the Tennessee Tech game. I was like, oh, you didn't know that you could do that.
It's amazing to see.
Didn't know your five could actually, you
we
know.
Just start calling him a unicorn just because he's a five who can catch
yes,
the ball.
Yes, exactly. That's a Memphis unicorn.
That's a Memphis yes. unicorn.
Yes,
I love it.
That's exactly where they are.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming in, helping me out on the show today. I take all my sports radio mm-hmm. talk lessons from you.
That's, again.
So just know.
Just ignore everything I say.
Yeah.
That's be just like everyone else.
I hope that internet gets yes. going. That's the part I was thinking about the whole
internet.
Time.
Yeah.
On the show next, we're going to have Zach Myers from the band Shinedown and Smith & Myers. He's going to come join us. I think he's going to come in studio and join us. How fancy is that? You're listening to the Jason and John Show. My name is Jared Moore, filling in for the fellas on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. And Odyssey Station. 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis' Grizzlies station.
Jackson wins the tip. Here come the Grizz down two. Morant downhill at Conley to the bucket. Jumps it out. Jackson, three for the lead. Bring it up. Put three on the board. Oh, what a drive and kick. And the Grizz are up by one.
Next up, Grizzlies versus Raptors. Wednesday night pregame at 6:30. The tip at 7 o'clock on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.